you haven't done any teaching, but you can then go on to lead a course. That doesn't sound right to me. I think you need both, you know, the training and the teaching.
Hi there, yogis, and welcome to my podcast. I am Charlotte Reynolds, a digital marketer and strategist, founder of the Digital Yogi Agency and a yoga teacher. And I help ambitious yoga teachers and wellness businesses to grow and scale through the power of online. So how does this podcast work? Well, each week I will be speaking with an expert in the yoga and wellness space, someone who has already achieved something incredible with a unique specialism, and we will talk about building a business, digital or social media, and importantly, exactly how they did the thing that they did. So confession time, you may have noticed that there was no episode released last week, and I have to apologize. Episodes are released every Tuesday, and it was my birthday on Monday, and I have to admit, I just completely forgot about the podcast until really late on Monday evening. So hopefully you can forgive me for that one. We are back, and in this episode, I'm joined by Melissa Albaran from the Yoga Alliance Professionals. We are speaking about how to choose and deliver a quality yoga teacher training. Now, many of you listening have likely taken an online course or a training, something we probably wouldn't have considered before. But now that we're open to the idea of investing our money into online trainings, you know, how do we make sure that we are getting the same bang for our buck and we're not signing up for a substandard training? And if we are a teacher delivering a training ourselves, then how do we make sure that we are delivering that same standard for our students? Plus, I want to know, how can we get our own courses accredited? So all of this we're going to cover in today's episode. Here we are, let's get straight into it. So first off, just give us a little intro into who you are, what your role is. Do you abbreviate it to the YAP?
Yeah, I call it YAP quite a lot. It's just
okay, let's go with the YAP. Your role at the YAP. Or would it be the YAP or YAP?
YAP, YAP, whatever, floats your boat.
About your role at YAP, and yeah, a little overview as to what they do in the UK.
Yeah, so hi everyone, I'm Melissa. I work in the PR and communications for Yoga Alliance Professionals, or YAP. So Yoga Alliance Professionals is a not-for-profit professional membership organization, and it was really built by yogis for yogis. It was set up in 2006 by two yoga teachers and a studio owner. You know, one of them was a studio owner, one of them was a trainer, as they really wanted to support yoga teachers and really get yoga teaching to be considered a profession. And now, you know, many years later, our membership is made up of some incredible yoga teachers, yoga trainers, and trainee teachers. And our main role, our mission, is to help these professionals really excel in their career and actually thrive, you know, just make a really successful living.
So is the YAP or Yoga Alliance Professionals the same as Yoga Alliance?
Okay, so this is a question we often get asked. Really, we're a completely different kettle of fish, save for the name, obviously. That is rather confusing. And while I can't talk too much about what Yoga Alliance is doing now, because I don't work there, I can say a bit about kind of the history. So Yoga Alliance in the USA is primarily an accreditation body. So that means they offer accreditation and they set standards. And so when you join them, you get a profile and you can upload your classes and things like that. So actually, since it started, Yoga Alliance has done a lot to raise the profile of yoga teachers. But where we Yoga Alliance Professionals really differ is, not only do we offer accreditation, but we also offer a lot of support. And up until recently, Yoga Alliance had some standards. So in order to be a senior yoga teacher, so to be delivering a full teacher training course, you only needed 2 years of teaching experience, which in my opinion anyway, is not a great deal. I mean, I can't imagine having 2 years teaching and then just going out and delivering a training course. In the UK, so our organisation, YAP, we ask for 8 hours and 4,000 teaching hours. So as you can see just from that, it's very different in the way that we approach our senior yoga teachers and who is delivering these training courses and what we require from our training courses. But I think other than that, you know, perhaps even more than that, we really offer a great deal of support to our members. So we give them a public profile, we give them free resources, marketing advice, business support, guidance on, you know, promoting themselves and of course, you know, insurance. So we have a lovely community of yoga teachers and that's just kind of, we work to support them.
I mean, let me know in the chat if when you did your first teacher training that you were told that you absolutely had to join the Yoga Alliance, like I think it was the US one. It was like, you have to join.
They are bigger. Like,
you'll never get any jobs. And then, I don't know, I think they had to pay like a fee. I haven't continued paying personally because I just didn't hear from them. I didn't really know what it was for.
Yeah. And I think that's what a lot of people have said, you know, there's not that level of support or kind of when you graduate, you know, you're feeling kind of like stressed. Like it's a very difficult time. You know, you don't really know what you're doing. So actually, you know, a badge is all well and good. But actually having advice on setting up your yoga business, how to find classes or connecting with new students, that's more valuable than a badge when you're just starting things out.
Mm. So YAP, they certify or accredit trainings for like yoga teacher trainings about, you know, the movement, asana side of things, like the sort of standard teacher trainings we think of. But do you also accredit other like further development courses? And is that the same or different to Yoga Alliance? And I will stop talking about Yoga Alliance.
It's okay. I was like, again, I'm not entirely sure what Yoga Alliance do with further trainings. I think you can get registered further trainings with them, but I think they're called something else, like continuous education or something, or I'm not really sure. But yeah, further training is something that we are super keen on because, you know, as a yoga teacher, that is crucial to your development. You know, once you've done your 200 hour, that's when it's time to start delving deeper into different topics and areas that interest you. And, you know, 200 hours, it's a great foundation, but that's all it is. It's a foundation to really specialize and hone in on your craft. You need to be doing further training. So yeah, we 100% love further training.
Do yoga teacher trainings need to be accredited by anyone, or can any course kind of exist? And what's the benefits? Why would a teacher training get an accreditation from a governing body like YAP?
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's really worth saying that they don't need to be registered with anybody, and you know. I think where the benefit comes in, at least with Yoga Alliance professionals, is kind of that verification. And that comes in several different ways. So when you register with us as a trainer, so further training, teacher training, specialist training, whatever, you get reviews on your profile. And you also get, so basically anyone who graduates from your course also then features on your profile with us. So when someone is having a look at the profile, they can actually speak to past graduates, and that allows them like verification that your course is as good as you say it is. Mm. So that's a really great thing that we do, as it, I think whenever you're looking for a training course, it's really important to research, and having, you know, actual access to past graduates is a really, really helpful thing, because you kind of avoid the direct promotional marketing of the trainer, because obviously they're going to say it's a great course. You can speak to people directly. And, you know, should anything go wrong on the training, or you need some advice with corporate insurance potentially, or like documentation, or, you know, like unfortunately things, personality clashes can happen, then we're here to support you. And it's, I think a lot of our trainers say how nice it is to just have that and know someone's there on the other end of the phone to chat things through and hash things out.
That's so interesting then, because I definitely did that when I was choosing my teacher training, my initial 200 hours. I was spending a lot of time asking around. But now that we're all online, we don't necessarily have that network in the same way to just be in the waiting room of a studio and go, hey guy, you know, we can't necessarily do that. And I think that's quite nice if you have that portal so people can reach out to other people who have done it. I think mm-hmm. that's a really good idea.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's one of the best things about the trainer profile, because it is really difficult, especially now when we're online, to be able to identify, you know, what's going to suit you. And also how the course is led, the course content. And sometimes, you know, maybe the trainer unknowingly doesn't share something, or it does, you know, they don't think it's worth sharing. But actually, someone who you speak to on the course will say, oh, I'd just be careful of this, or just this was a really great part, or this didn't really work for me, but it might work for you. So getting real human insight into how the course is led and how it continues.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point, because I think a lot of the time after you do yoga teacher trainings, you don't really feel like you can give feedback. I do think the yoga teacher training world can be a bit cult-like. And you don't necessarily feel confident that you can give any kind of feedback or maybe criticism or recommendations to the trainings themselves. So I think being able to have a conversation with another body is that another thing that you guys do then? If people do have almost kind of complaints or criticisms about trainings, do you take those on board?
Yeah, so especially, again, really important for us. We offer kind of advice, guidance, content, resources throughout the whole training process. And then when you finish the course, we try our best to call the graduates and just get some anonymous feedback on the course. Because if the same, you know, concerns are being raised continually, then we need to do something. We need to think about, okay, this trainer keeps on getting the same feedback that X, Y, or Z is happening. Like, we need to address this now, because the trainer might not be aware that they're doing it, or, you know, it may be something a bit more sinister, I suppose, that we actually need to look into. It has never really happened. I think one or two cases that's something we've actually had to fully address, because I think when one person says it, it's difficult to know if it's just a personality clash, which is unfortunate, but it's hard to say if that's, you know, can be, if it's just like one-on-one. But, you know, if we're getting these repeated comments, then yeah, it's something that we would address and look to rectify.
If, for example, someone created a course, you know, during lockdown, a lot of teachers did think, right, how can I take my area of expertise and create more of a course structure rather than just selling individual classes? You know, I know a friend of mine, she created a course that was an overview of the chakras and how you can apply that to your teaching. So could my friend get that accredited by YAP and sell it as a yoga teacher training further development course?
Yeah, so that sounds really exciting. I love that. They could do. I mean, it would depend. So for us, it's all about experience and your training and your teaching values and basically your experience, essentially. So for to do a further training course, we would ask that the teacher has 4 years of teaching experience and 2,000 hours of teaching. So we think, you know, that gives you enough time to really have honed in your skills and specialize in an area and, you know, create a passion for that area. So for a further training course, that those are kind of the criteria, and we'd ask to see the syllabus and have a look at that, look and see what's covered, and then be able to assess whether we would approve it hopefully welcome them on board. We're also very happy to kind of work with people, you know, if the course needs a bit of adjustment or they're not certain on a particular area, we can offer our advice. If, you know, she was creating a whole 200-hour or foundation course, the teaching experience required is a little bit more. So it's 8 years of teaching experience and 4,000 hours. And I think to some that can feel like quite a long time. But I think that's because like our society, the way that we're kind of built is to reach the end goal really, really quickly. Like we want to be the best and we want to, you know, make progress. But with yoga, it's not like that. You know, you can't really cut corners. It is that those years of experience are what enable you to be a lead teacher. You know, the ups and the downs, you know, different classes that you teach. So it is a really, I suppose, slow and steady process.
So there's 8 years of 8 years of having been a teacher and 4,000 hours.
Yeah, for a foundation course.
4,000 hours. How much is that? It's hard to...
I don't know.
4,000 hours of teaching.
Teaching and training, and training.
Okay.
So any kind of further training that you do, any specialist training, and any kind of teaching hours that you've done as well. I think for us, you know, and I think I wrote a blog on this because there's a lot of confusion around the 200 hour and the 500 hour RYT status. And I think it is an American kind of phenomenon. Like I think that stems from America, but you know, really, I think the issue is if you're saying you're 500 hours of training, you haven't done any teaching, but you can then go on to lead a course. That doesn't sound right to me. I think you need both, you know, the training and the teaching.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, you know, I think how you grow and how you learn is through experience. So the more teaching practice that you can do, if you're purely training and not doing any teaching, your teaching will not progress. So I think that's why we are so keen on looking at both teaching and training and not putting a label on 500 hour, 200 hour, 300 hour, because it's just not necessary.
What would be the benefits? Let's say if I was able to get one of my programs accredited, or, you know, some of the clients I work with could get their courses accredited. What would be the benefits to them for having that accreditation next to their name?
It's a big question, because I personally believe there are multiple benefits of being a trainer member with us. So of course, you know, you get your course recognized by us. We help with the syllabus and we can support you with any additional documentation you may need, such as like GDPR, those policy documents that sometimes people aren't super clear on. So that's one thing. Another is being connected with other, you know, students who potentially are interested in your course. We've done a lot of like matchmaking, or just matching students who are looking for courses with our members. And we also are very keen on basically raising awareness among the public for what makes a good course, because you're right, there are a lot of courses out there and not a lot of people who know what to look for. So we do a lot of like advertising and awareness raising around that, and then connecting people to our trainers. So, you know, they can watch a video and a tutorial that we've done and then be asked, you know, do you want to join be connected with one of our trainer members? Mm. So that's a really nice way to kind of market yourself and get that little push to connect with new students. I think, you know, another main
thing. I like that matchmaking idea, because it's almost you're taking that thing that we were just talking about, which is so important, which is getting those recommendations, and you're kind of doing that job, because not everybody has a yoga community to call upon. You know, some people mm-hmm. who do their yoga teacher training haven't really got into a studio and they've got lots of connections there and people they can ask, or maybe, you know, a friend who's done a training and kind of don't have anyone that they can ask. And it's great that they could almost get like impartial advice from someone that can set them up with the right one.
So yeah, I mean, that's one really big part of what we do. And another is just like a partnership with us and building that community and, you know, uploading your courses, sharing what you're doing, posting events. You know, it's just for us, you know, we want to see outstanding yoga trainers do what they do best. So we want to help them do that. And we want to help them with their courses, with their trainings, you know, find students, find reviews, you know, all that kind of thing.
Let me know in the chat, have you done any online yoga teacher training? I personally haven't. I didn't do any. I was just in India in March. Oh gosh, that's nearly a year ago. Doing my yoga teacher training, my mandala training, and then lockdown happened. So I kind of had my fix, but I did see a huge number of people at the beginning of lockdown doing online teacher trainings, and a lot of teacher trainings did manage to turn theirs into fully online. But there was a lot of, you know, hiccups as to how is this now going to look online? How do we know that an online teacher training is as good a quality as a real life one? Because I didn't do an online one, not because I didn't think they were good enough quality, because I didn't really look into them, because at that time I just didn't want to do any more training. But yeah, part of me, I think, was maybe a little bit skeptical, especially when it comes to those foundational 200-hour courses, because that is where touching bodies is so important. How do we make sure that those online trainings are good enough?
I want to pause the interview to briefly talk about how I work with clients one-to-one. Each month, I will work with a small handful of teachers and coaches to help them create and implement proven strategies to grow and scale. So if you have big ambitions for your business and you want the support, accountability, and training to get there faster, then I invite you to take a look at my one-to-one digital strategy and business coaching. To apply, go to thedigitalyogi.co.uk/coaching, fill out the form, and I will be in touch.
Yeah, so great question. And I think the whole shift to online training was such, and it still is an ongoing discussion in the yoga world. But I think it is worth pointing out that, you know, there are going to be some really poor in-person trainings, and they're going to be some outstanding online courses. Yeah. So what really makes a good teacher training course isn't just about the platform. It's about the experience and the knowledge of the lead teacher, the connection between the students, the syllabus, the content, and the individuals want to learn. So I think that should always be the focus of any training, helping inspire and create confident yoga teachers. However, there are some things you should look out for when doing, well, really when doing both in person and online. But I suppose now with online, it's even more important, because you just want to be sure that what you're getting is good enough. So the first one I would recommend is seeing if the course is accredited or verified, you know, so that someone else has had a look through the course and deems it to be okay and like in a professional body. Again, as I said, it's not a must, it's just a good thing to watch out for. Then you want to be looking at the experience of the teacher. So what, you know, when did they graduate? What training courses have they done? Where have they taught? You know, that all that information is really good to be able to understand the background of your lead teacher. The next thing, as we've discussed, is reviews. And again, I would say being able to talk to past graduates is a really great, great thing, because it just gives you that confidence and that understanding about the course.
And you want those honest reviews as well, because the ones that you are going to be featured the most are going to be those positive ones.
Yes. So I have heard recently to like, but not ignore, but, you know, basically overlook the really positive ones and really negative reviews and just look at the middle section of reviews, because that will be the people who actually did enjoy said item or product or whatever it may be, but just had a few bits of kind of recommendations or feedback. So yeah, reviews really, really big. And then this, I think, is crucial now, because we can't meet in person, but you can still attend the classes led by the senior yoga teacher or the trainer. So actually spending time in their Zoom classes, or if it's in person in their studio, and getting a feel of how they teach, what their you know, what their style is like. And you want to ideally see if you can do any taster sessions. So some courses will offer, you know, we'll do like half a day or a day of training, and you can experience, you know, a day in the life of a yoga teacher trainee. And then, you know, finally, after the course, you want to see if people, if there's any kind of mentorship programs or continued support. So you're not just left when you graduate to go out and be wild. You actually have some additional support, and you can turn to your trainer should you need them.
So actually, when I was looking in the chat, Hannah, I would love to hear about your experience of taking your training online. I don't know if you fancied unmuting. How did you find the transition from offline to online, and what was feedback like from students?
I found it really difficult, actually, and obviously that wasn't what I signed up for. I wanted that in-person experience to really immerse myself in the training, and then to move that onto Zoom. Ours was every other weekend, so, you know, you're sitting for 6 hours a day on Zoom. It's not, I was distracted. I didn't feel the connection with some of the teachers. It was just hard to sort of feel like you're in your yoga space and like your mind is there when you're sat at home, you know, with all the distractions around you. And I think most people felt the same. And I think there was some complaints as well that we had to pay full price for essentially the in-person training, which then it moved online. So yeah, I think people were a bit bummed about that. We did do the last three weekends. We had to cram all of our practical into those three weekends when I think we come out of lockdown for like August. And then, yeah, so it was definitely not what any of us were expecting. Or yeah, I didn't really enjoy that experience, to be honest.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing. That's super interesting. Yeah, and I guess as well, not everybody has the facilities to practice at home. You know, you might have crap Wi-Fi like me. You might not have a lot of space. And I think also if you were practicing at home, it's easy to get distracted. I know I heard some people who did a yin training because it was obviously quite slow and relaxing, maybe just kind of couldn't really get their attention in gear, maybe started nodding off. I guess that's a risk if it's online. And so there's I don't think anybody knows when things are going to go back to normal in terms of teaching in real life. A couple of the clients that I work with, two of my clients both have yoga teacher trainings, and they are very much holding out for these to be in real life. No plans to have them online, but then other yoga teacher trainings I've seen have now created theirs and made them on demand, which is a whole nother level of online, you know. You don't have that live experience to the teacher. What are the different requirements for these different levels of, what are the rules?
Yeah. And again, this was for us a really important issue. And actually we ended up having, you know, loads of member surveys. We had, you know, focus groups with some of our trainers, some who were really anti online and some who had moved their training online and were really enjoying it and think it was going really well. You know, we spoke to loads of members over the phone. So it was a whole process because we wanted to get it right. You know, we want our members to feel supported, and particularly during what was a very, and this continues to be, was a very difficult year. You know, had it been, I think a lot of people had to do the move very quickly, or they felt they had to move online very quickly, but there wasn't that kind of knowledge and understanding of Zoom and the likes that we have now. But for us, I think we really, after kind of those discussions and everything to decide on the requirements, we really thought back to, you know, what are yoga teacher trainings and what is the goal of yoga teacher trainings? And the goal is to provide competent and confident yoga teachers. That should be the case wherever you're teaching or whatever platform you are teaching on. So in the end, we decided actually we're going to stick with our kind of in-person criteria, which is, so you have to have a minimum of 200 hours for the course, and 180 of those hours need to be in contact. So when you're doing an in-person course, that means, you know, spending that with the lead teacher, or I don't know, some people have physios join the course, but spending that time in person. And we decided, okay, for an online format, that also needs to be the case. So whether that's what we're doing now, like live Zoom sessions, or, you know, like one-to-one calls, or for some, you know, other kind of streaming platforms like Skype, whatever it is, it has to be in contact in the same way that it's in real time. And then the rest of those 20 hours, et cetera, they can be, you know, pre-recorded, they can be homework. But we think, as always, the most important thing about a teacher training course is spending time and being taught by that lead teacher. And that's how it used to be like years ago when you used to go to India and, you know, be with an ashram. You'd basically just be one-on-one with a teacher, mentor. And that's what we think is the most important part of a training course.
And another question, I guess, is obviously continuous development is really important. But one thing, as I've done a lot of these sessions with senior teachers who are, like, you know, really successful, a common thing that I do hear quite a lot is to not do too many trainings, because you can get a bit hung up, I think, on, right, what's the next thing, next training, and not really giving the training time to land and to kind of develop your own take on things. And that, I kind of really liked that, because I think there is that temptation to just be learning all the time, and not really allowing it to sink in, and then, you know, and then maybe neglecting all the other side. If you want to be a successful teacher, it's not just doing yin, restorative, pregnancy, you know, rocket, all these training. There's this whole other side of development that could also be tapped into, like learning about marketing. But what are your thoughts on that? Do you think some people get a bit carried away with the trainings? Do you have like a database, and you can see how many you must do? People have just done, you know, 5,000 hours of training in a year or something.
I think it kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier, in that actually, you know, training is a really important, really great thing to do. And I fully encourage any yoga teacher to, you know, do further training. But you need to also put that into practice. There's no point being having 1,000, 2,000 hours of training and 5 hours of teaching. You need to be able to put what you're learning out into the classroom and seeing if it works for you, you know? So yeah, that's my stance on that. I think, you know, teaching and training in equal measure.
You know, the world of teacher training has just changed incredibly in the last 12 months. Where do you see it going in the next 12 months, 3 years, 5 years, you know, whether they're going to stay online, whether as soon as things open up, we're just going to default back to doing them in person?
I mean, I think online is here to stay, whether you like it or not. You know, people have seen how effective it can be. You can connect with people halfway across the world. And I don't see that going away anywhere. You know, I also think that there will still be a market for in-person training, because I think that's fundamental to yoga. But especially now, as you know, the last year we've seen just madness, basically. Yeah. And it doesn't seem to be going away. So I think it's important that we cater to those people who do want to train online, and make sure that that online training is the very best that it can be. I also think that further training for teachers is going to become even more important, because people are recognizing they need to create their niche. They need to really hone in on certain aspects of their business to make it succeed and be successful, whether that's online or in person. And especially, again, with the whole online world, further training courses, or like yourself, like business coaching, it's a lot more accessible online. Like it's easier to put that in an online format than say a 200 hour course. So that's where I see online really taking off in the training world, because, you know, why wouldn't you? If you have 50 hours of your time, you can just log in and do the work and get that qualification at the end, and you know, add that to your skill set. I do also think with regard to kind of teaching online or teaching in the next few year, next year, it's going to have to be really, you know, taking account of people's well-being and their kind of mental health. I think that is going to be a really important aspect of yoga teaching going forward. I mean, I know it has been already, but a lot of us have seen the impacts of, you know, coronavirus, the pandemic, lockdown, and actually teachers are really recognizing the power of yoga to support their students through what is a very difficult time.
And cool, just to wrap it up, if people want to learn a bit more about the types of courses, you said that you have like free trainings. How do people go about looking at those, see if any of them are going to be right for people right now?
Yeah, so we've started a kind of training academy, and they offer really short courses to give you a bit of an insight into a particular area of yoga. And that way you can go, okay, like that was really interesting. You know, I think we've got a course on like anatomy and the diaphragm. So after doing that short course, you might think, well, I really want to explore that area further. And so I'll take the full course. But it's a really great way to getting really useful pieces of advice for both your teaching and for your practice. So I would highly recommend anyone visit our website, which is yogaallianceprofessionals.org. And you'll see adverts for our YAPTAs, which is YAPTA, Yoga Alliance Professionals Training Academy.
Thank you so much, Melissa. Wonderful. Thank you, Hannah, for being an honorary guest.
A massive thank you to Melissa from the Yoga Alliance Professionals for joining me for this episode. If you haven't already, go and take a look at their Instagram and their website. Have a look at some of the resources and the events that they've got, especially for yoga teachers. Just to say a massive thank you again to everybody who listens to this podcast, and especially if you're sharing it with your friends and talking about it with your community. It really does mean the world. See you same time, same place next week for another episode.